This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Have you ever felt like you're a hostage to your teenager? Do you find their erratic mood swings, unpredictable demands, and temper tantrums are actually affecting your quality of life? Do you find yourself arguing about the same issues again and again? There is hope. Andrew Fuller is a clinical psychologist and the author of Tricky Teens, a new guide on how to create a great relationship with your teen without going crazy. Andrew joins me in the studio. Hi, thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Katrina.
Now, you've called the book Tricky Teens. Are all teenagers tricky? Or just some in particular?
Well, most teenagers are great, really, but of course, all of them have their own tricky moments from time to time. I mean, I love teenagers. They're full of dreams and full of possibilities, and they're full of, you know, just some of the biggest ideas and creative ideas around. So
There's lots of positives, aren't there, about the teen years?
Oh, fantastic. You know, I mean, they're our future and they're a wonderful part of life. And it's important, I think, to think about the teenage years basically as a really important circuit breaker in terms of our development. But I mean, you know, life as a little kid's pretty good, and as a school age kid, it gets really good, and you know, things are pretty fantastic. And unless something shifts, kids would stay at home forever. And it's really only the adolescent stage that kind of disrupts that family cycle a bit, so that kids start to look outside their own family.
And what do parents need to understand about teenage brains and how they work?
When I talk to kids and parents around Australia, as I do in schools and communities, I talk about the idea that we have two brains, basically. And part of our brain is very, very old. It's the part of our brain, it's the lower part of our brain. That's the part of the brain that consists of or contains 80% of our brain cells. Mm-hmm. It's a part of our brain which is, well, not being rude about it, but it's not very bright.
It controls our instinct and things like that, doesn't
it? Yeah, basically. Keeps us breathing while we sleep. It keeps your heart rate at the right pace and your temperature. You know, so it's survival, basically.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not particularly bright. It's not particularly language-driven. It uses symbols and feelings.
Okay.
But it's the part which, in honour of its origins, I call Rex or Tyrannosaurus Rex, because it's basically the same brain.
Okay.
But there's also more, of course, to our teenagers than that. There's the bright, insightful, aware, mindful, creative, kind of wonderful, genius kids that we know. And so in honour of that part of the brain, which is just behind your forehead, your frontal lobes, which are much more recent, of course, we call that, in honour of Einstein, Albert.
And is that the bit that's sort of underdeveloped in teenagers?
Or? Well, it's the part that goes through a major refit mode. So it actually means that during childhood, Albert is developing quite well and then restructures substantially. So over half the connections in the prefrontal cortex, the Albert part of our brain, start to disappear by about, you know, 9 years of age. And that progresses really until about 14 years of age. So it's going through a major restructure.
And how does that affect then teenage behaviour and feelings and that kind of thing?
Well, the illusion that we all have is that our Albert part of our brain, our thoughtful, goal-directed, planning part of the brain, is in charge of our more primitive, instinctive
Our base instinct
type of
is,
brain.
Yeah.
But actually, no.
Okay.
It's Rex is really in charge of Albert. And so unless you get Rex right, Albert doesn't get a chance to show up and really think things through. Now, the problem here, of course, is that lots of parenting books, lots of experts talk about Albert-type strategies. Sit down, let's have a conversation, let's negotiate, all that kind of stuff, which are Albert strategies. But unless Rex is right, Albert doesn't get a chance to look in.
So how do you get Rex right then?
Well, remember that Rex basically deals with basic survival. For Rex, comfort matters a heck of a lot. So, you know, he needs to have eaten if he needs to eat, needs to have slept well, needs to go to the toilet if he needs to go to the toilet, needs to move, do all that kind of stuff. So, but if Rex hasn't had that, then he goes on a rampage, essentially.
So is what you're talking about really making sure that teenagers have their basic needs met?
Yeah, that's right, because if you want them to think at a higher order level, you've got to really address that first, not second.
Okay.
That means, I mean, a classic kind of issue would be a kid comes home from school like a monster, and you think, right, I'm not going to put up this behaviour. Let's have a long discussion about how inappropriate and intolerable that behaviour was.
But actually, they might just need to eat or something.
That's right, yeah. Right. And if you, as soon as you realise that, go, Rex, okay,
yeah.
You go, right, okay. Feed Rex, and then basically we'll have the conversation once they're kind of, you know, or a kid's having a tantrum, a little kid's having a tantrum. If you don't get Rex right, you're not going to have the discussion later to kind of change the values and all the kind of stuff that you need to in the family.
Let's talk a little bit about communication, because that seems to be a common problem between parents and teenagers. Do you have any tips for how to communicate in positive ways with teenagers?
Well, teenagers want to communicate, but they communicate in different ways for boys and for girls and for mums and dads. I think teenage years are often a time when mums and daughters probably talk a bit too much and fathers and sons don't talk anywhere near enough, I think. For boys, really, it's about respect. The key to communicating with a teenage boy is to give him the idea that you respect him, essentially. And that's important, particularly for fathers to understand, because fathers often treat fathering like it's an improvement program for their kids. And so they'll say things like, yeah, that's great, well done, and what you could do next time to improve it would be blah, 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 blah. And all the boy hears is, that was rubbish and really I need to improve. Okay. I'm not respected. And so training fathers to give up the helpful suggestion and just say, that was great, you're a legend, is a really important thing to do. Otherwise, they just feel disrespected and then argue, and then this goes haywire.
What about for girls?
For girls, they want to really know that you like them and love them. That's the first thing. But they actually like it when you're really upfront with them, because girls often, because of their greater vocabulary, they're kind of wrestling with the intricacies of meanings of words. And mothers particularly often want to soften the blow. They don't want to come out front and kind of say something. So they'll make these kind of sideline sort of hints. Like,
okay,
do you
what's
think
an
that
example?
Top goes with that?
Oh, okay,
do
yeah.
Know? Do you think your hair is just a bit short? Or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And that infuriates teenage girls. They just can't. They just flare up because they see this sort of, well, they perceive it as manipulation rather than a softening of the blow. Mm. And so it's important to realise there's a couple of key things with teenagers that simply don't work. I mean, the uninvited lecture, which is, of course, a highly gratifying thing because you can feel like you're imparting the wisdom of the ages to your kids, but, of course, they just see the whites of their eyes.
Yeah.
The sort of basically the idea that you should be a stress martyr. Lots of parents think that, you know, somehow parenting should be a quest for self-sacrifice, that I need to sacrifice my own life for the good of my children. Forgetting, of course, that really the best way to help your kids to learn how to have a resilient, fulfilling life is to see their parents actually living one.
Yeah,
and also there's plenty of kind of, after all we've done and look how desperately worried we are, which really just comes across as pathetic.
Okay. I remember not to use that one. After all we've done for you. Oh, if that ever comes out of my mouth, yeah, I'm going to really slap myself. Okay. What are the essential conversations to have with your teens?
Well, I was thinking over 30 years of seeing families in therapy, there were conversations that we have, which are wonderful in my therapy room, that often don't occur in households around the dining room table in the lounge room. And so I started to think about what they should be. And they're obviously not things that you can kind of schedule in having. You need to kind of look for the right moment. But the first one really is about, how do you form a good relationship? We know that, you know, your happiness in your life is pretty strongly dictated by the quality of relationships that you form in your life. And often we see a world where people aren't very good at forming or keeping good relationships. Well, they might be good at forming them, but often when things get a bit tough, how do you kind of then mend a relationship, which is repairing? And so I think it's really important to talk with people about when things get strained. Say it's a friendship or as a family relationship, how do people patch it up and how are you responsible for patching that part of it up? Because otherwise you tend to live in a world where it's like a trade-off. I'll treat you well if you treat me well, but if you treat me badly, I'll treat you badly. And that descends down to the person who's going to behave worst will kind of dictate the level of the relationship. That doesn't work well. And so it's about you kind of holding true to who you are and expecting kids to hold true to who they are. Another one is about the importance of making sincere apologies, I think, and to fixing things up. So, you know, probably all of us as parents have received the insincere apology, a rolling of the eyes and as if, yeah, I'm sorry kind of stuff. But you know that if you make an insincere apology, it can cost you big time in terms of your life. You could lose a job. You could have the love of your life walk away. You know, there's all sorts of – and so you really – you know, there's always going to be a moment with kids when they do something like, you know, hitting the – cricket ball through the neighbor's window or whatever it might be, where it's a great time to say, right, we're going to go, we're going to make an apology, we're going to fess up and we're going to fix it up. And going through those motions of really making sure that kids do that is very, very important.
Yeah, okay. Now, does the groundwork of building a good open relationship with your primary age kids, does it carry on into the teenage years, or do things just go out the window? Because, you know, I think often, like, for example, in my own family, my daughter shares with me and tells me stuff that's going on in her life. But I wonder, is that just all going to dry up when they hit the teenage years?
Well, in Tricky Teens, I talk about creating a culture of cooperation. And obviously that's easy when they're little kids, because kids want to help and they kind of they confide in you and all of that. But the world of teenagership is going to be a bit different. So it's a time when their gears change and parents have to also change their strategies, because some of that close intimacy that's there, kids need to kind of rebel a bit against that. Otherwise, they don't form their own way of doing things. And that can be a bit of a jolt for a parent, because you think, I'm grief-stricken for that past lovely time. And you'll still have those times, but you've also got to realise that they are forming their own kind of identity. Yeah. And that's a valuable thing. Otherwise, I mean, unless you want them living with you until they're 80, I suppose, and that's up to you, I suppose. But it's a very important time for parents to step back at that first time when the old things that used to work no longer work and go, hang on, do I just blame my kid here and go, this is just dreadful? Or do I really reconsider how to parent my child now that they're a teenager? It's a real opportunity, because if you parent well at that stage, you set them up, of course, for having that great relationship through life.
Yeah, okay. And just finally, if someone's listening to this and they know that they've fallen into really negative patterns with their teens, how can they work at changing that?
Well, the first thing really is about being intentional about it. And so it's really about thinking, I'm going to take on a process of doing this. When in Tricky Teens, I talk about the idea that families get into dance steps. So we get into kind of routines or habits where I'll do this and then you do that. And they're often invisible because they happen so fast in a family. Mm. But if you can step back for a bit and just watch, how do we do, as a family, how do we do this problem? Whether it be the kind of rush hour of the morning getting out to school, or whether it be kind of the dinner timetable, the things are going berserk, you just sort of step back for a bit and really map it out. Because if you can map it out, then you can start to think about, where should I start to intervene? In Tricky Teens, I talk about a sort of 6-week process that you really need to sort of think about relearning your child as a teenager, and then also reconsidering your own different strategies. It's a bit like a reinvention, not because everything that you've done up until now has been bad. It's just past choose by day.
Kind of like breaking a habit. You've got to be really conscious about it.
Yeah, yeah. And often I find parents expect that, you know, I should be able to do this within 3 days, and that's just crazy, really. It's going to take a while for everyone to get used to the new kind of pattern.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. There's some good advice there, and plenty more in the book, I'm sure.
Thanks a lot.
That's Andrew Fuller. He's the author of Tricky Teens, How to Create a Great Relationship with Your Teen Without Going Crazy.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.